You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
good old boy Dave's older brother, KP, Kevin, otherwise known as KP, was on a road trip through South Dakota and was thoughtful enough to bring us some beer from South Dakota.
The beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are from Remedy Brewing Company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have the Heffy Metal, Bavarian-style Hefeweizen Ale.
Excellent beer name.
Indeed. The Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
That's also good.
Very descriptive. Okay? From Sturgis Brewing Company in Sturgis, South Dakota, the Black Hills Blonde Ale and the Red Cut Red Amber. And then from Crow Peak Brewing Company in Spearfish, South Dakota, the 11th Hour IPA and the Canyon Cream Ale.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more Suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are for yet another Sud segment where we say beers are like bikers. If you know what's good for you, you'll stay away from the one percenters. Ooh, was that a little too political? Maybe not. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is...
One percenters, man.
I know. Good old boy Kendall. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am good.
Great. Me too.
Good old boy Drew.
I am the 99%.
Good. Are you...
He's in the 99th percentile.
He is in the 99th percentile.
Yes. For certain things.
For beards.
Mm. Yeah.
And voices.
Yes.
Yeah. And knowing stuff.
And knowing stuff.
Or yeah. Being confidently incorrect.
Though I'm scared the fact that he's like looking at these things that are not part of the episode. But anyways.
Wait. Is he looking at you?
I was trying to make room on the lazy Susan.
Okay.
Jeez.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being the hostess with the mostest. Good old boy Dave. Hi.
What? So how did it become a lazy Susan in the first place?
It's always been a lazy Susan.
Right, but what did Susan do? I mean, why couldn't it be
Who Sue was to start the revolution.
Like a lazy, lazy Tammy or a lazy Deborah?
I think Susan is best.
Some guy built it for his wife because she wouldn't hand him the mashed potatoes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Susan, pass me the mashed potatoes. Come get them.
Or maybe Susan invented it.
Oh, because she didn't want to pass the mashed potatoes.
So let me just twirl this. Yes. Spin this around. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, recently, good old boy Dave, who has more than just himself in his family...
wow, his more
his
than
older,
one.
I know there's more than one.
That's so profound.
Well, he has an older brother, which we affectionately call him KP. I mean, his name is Kevin, but anyways. So KP came back from a trip to South Dakota, and not being a beer drinker himself, he was still extraordinarily thoughtful enough to grab a few local beers and bring back for us to try.
Cheers, KP. Cheers. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers. Was he out there for Sturgis?
No, his fiance is from around those parts, so go and kind of check it out every year.
Nice.
Go to Mount Rushmore. And
people are from South Dakota? They just don't go visit there for motorcycle rallies?
Well, that's why there's nobody in South Dakota, because all the people there go other places.
Okay. Good old boy Drew, why don't you tell us today's lineup?
The beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are from Remedy Brewing Company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have the Heffy Metal, Bavarian-style Hefeweizen Ale. And
excellent beer name.
Indeed. The Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
That's also good.
Very descriptive. You okay? Must have technical difficulties. From Sturgis Brewing Company in Sturgis, South Dakota, the Black Hills Blonde Ale and the Red Cut Red Amber. And then from Crow Peak Brewing Company in Spearfish, South Dakota, the 11th Hour IPA and the Canyon Cream Ale.
I have to imagine a place called Spearfish, South Dakota. It's just a bunch of badass people who are just like tough.
Do you spearfish in South Dakota? I thought that was an ocean thing.
Well, they do it because they can, not because they need to.
I forget what's in Spearfish, but it has some history around it.
Crow's Peak.
Yeah, I haven't been out there since I was a child, so I don't remember a lot about South Dakota. It's a cool place to visit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, good old boy Drew. That was perfect. Good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
All right. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a crotch rocket. Number two, was that a bug or a small bird that just hit me in the face at 60 miles an hour?
Ow.
Ouch. Hey, right.
It happens. I hit a turkey vulture once on my motorcycle.
Oh, my what?
Luckily, he got the windshield, and I didn't really take the brunt of it. But, yeah, it happens.
Holy cow.
Number three. Ah, what a relief. I only had to go onto the shoulder of the road twice to avoid an idiot in an SUV not checking their side mirrors.
Look twice, save a life.
Ooh.
Number four. A body should really not make that sound, but a Harley should.
All right, that's a good one.
All right, and number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another 40 miles per gallon. Eat that, you four-wheeled suckers.
Wow.
You might do better than 40 miles per gallon.
Yeah, my current bike's about 42 to 43, depending on how I'm riding. But nice. I could get 50 if I would do the speed limit.
If.
But are you riding a motorcycle if you're doing the speed limit?
Never.
See?
Well, there's that. Okay. So, I'm excited. Let's get into our first beer from South Dakota.
On it, heavy metal.
Right? Okay. So, this one is from Remedy Brewing, which is in Sioux Falls, and it's the Heffy Metal Bavarian Style Hefeweizen, 5.3% ABV. Mm. A rock concert for your taste buds. A traditional German-inspired Weizenbier? Ooh, they said Weizenbier. With the loudest flavor you'll ever taste.
Mm. I don't know about that, but it's not bad.
Well, okay.
Not the style of beer I'd pick for the loudest flavor I'd ever taste, just saying.
Right?
But it's a solid hef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got a nice soft mouthfeel, not really creamy, but soft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The banana and clove there, but it's really gentle.
It's not
being overwhelmed with
it. Why isn't it there heavier? Is that Bavarian versus Belgian or...
I just think if you overdo it, it just kind of distracts from the beer. I like it soft like this. I think this is a pretty good Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Hefeweizen fan, and this is the kind of Hefeweizen that I like.
Yeah,
because
it's drinkable.
Way too much of the banana and clove is really off-putting to me.
Agreed.
So I think this has mass appeal, you know, as far as a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I'm really kind of impressed by this because... I don't know what my hang up is about Hefes, but like, it's all clove to me and a little excessive. And for as light and nice and sweet as the beer can be, the clove just kind of ruins it for me.
Yep.
But I do love cloves like with ham and in the fall and like winter, you know, like with food.
I'm glad you mentioned food. Like, what beer or foods pair well with a Hefeweizen.
What fresh roadkill would you want?
Wow.
Pork tenderloin sandwich would go great with those.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that clove, that's right. it always goes really well with pork and ham.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it does, right?
Because I'm glad he knows the rules of that.
See?
No, but it's a thing. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I was the clove stabber. My grandmother,
you would use the cloves to stab something, or you would stab the cloves?
I would stab the clove into the ham.
Oh.
So my grandmother would make the diagonal, the diamond cuts in the ham. Mm-hmm. And then she told me that I had to take a full clove, and it could only be a full clove, and stab each diamond. Yes. And that was my job. And it would take too long because I would be too focused, and then she would tell me to leave.
It kept you busy, though.
Get out.
Yeah, I was one of those kids.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, always in the way. My poor grandmother. Anyways, this is nice.
So a heffy and a ham. Okay.
Heffy sure. and a ham.
Sure.
Or heffy and any kind of pork. Yeah.
Especially one that's got the clove, noticeable clove in it.
Yeah.
This might actually even go well with like a currywurst.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Because you take something that's like kind of on the spicy side, and this would soften it a bit. Yeah, no, that makes sense. But this is very approachable. I don't know that I necessarily agree with the whole like metalness of a heffy.
Marketing in a market.
Sure, yeah, but maybe in South Dakota, we don't have many options.
Well, they don't have many people, so
fracking and pipeline and
great play on words, though. I do like this.
That's a great name. Yeah, okay. Sure.
I love it.
So what shall we rate the heffy metal? Oh.
Oh, wow. Everyone
okay. Solid four.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Purely not comparing it to other beers, but comparing it to other heffies.
Yes.
It's
yes.
really well made. Yes. Really drinkable. Yeah.
When was the last time that you had a decent heffy?
Or like, what is your favorite heffy?
Oh,
like what's a, like if I was just to say, Kendall, what's a good reference heffy? What would you go with to put you really on the spot?
Yeah.
Man, there's not a lot out there.
Well, and
the only one I know that you can always get fresh, it's pretty dependable, is locally here in Nashville, is Yazoo's Heffy, which has been around for, 20 years.
Sure.
It's a little more banana forward, but it's always been, it almost has a little lemony zest to it, and I've always found it a pretty decent Heffy.
The only one I've had, like I said, I'm not a big Heffy fan, but the one from Dovetail in Chicago.
Oh yeah,
was a really no wrong.
Yeah, that was a really good heffy.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Okay.
Oh, I just remembered another one. Live Oak in Austin
probably
has the best in the country.
Oh
yes,
oh, there you go.
I like Hoegaarden, but you know,
really,
it's the only one that I enjoy that is obviously very banana and clove, but it's
a lot more Belgian-y.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's the yeast. But you know, that's
I don't
it for
know
me.
That I've had like that fresh. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure I have either.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I can only imagine what it's like fresh.
Yeah. Road trip.
Sorry.
Something to,
might have to
no,
go.
No, no, no. Okay. We will return in just a minute with more beer from South Dakota.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. today's episode is kind of cool because we're talking about somebody who was kind enough to do some road tripping and bring us back some beer.
KP!
Yay,
thanks, brother.
KP! So for those of you just tuning in, good old boy Dave has an older brother named Kevin, otherwise known as KP.
I have a younger brother, too, and we don't talk about
him. Well, we're not going to discuss that, no. So KP happened to be in South Dakota and was kind enough to bring us back some beer from South Dakota. So right before the break, we were talking about Remedy Brewing's beer and
Hefty
now,
Metal.
Right, the Hefty Metal. And now we're going to do the Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
This is a tasty beer.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I wouldn't have thought that a honey cream ale would be something of popularity in South Dakota, but that's my
night. Or at this table.
Actually, but cream ales are huge up in the plains and the Northwest.
Really?
Yeah. When I went to Montana, every brewery had a cream ale on top.
I think cream ale is just a good, easy beer, though.
And okay, the same thing. Sure. I know in Idaho, Eastern Washington, all those breweries, when I was there, had cream ale. So I think it's just something in that region.
Unless you're making lagers, I think cream ale, creams or blonde ales are the things. Like if you're trying to drag your non-craft beer friends into a craft brewery,
it's
the blonde or the cream ale that's going to tide them over.
Okay.
You know?
And the cream ale with the corn already has that classic American taste.
Yeah.
It's
there's a lot of corn sugar. Sure. Okay.
You're in corn. Not really corn country, but definitely farm country.
Farm country.
It's fermentable sugar. A little bit of a slick.
And in the grand scheme of things out there, like, you're not going to have a lot of pilsners per se. So, like, why not? Okay. Well, this is brewed with South Dakota wildflower honey from their friends at Dakota Honey Company.
Which I think that's one of the South Dakota's, like, major exports. Honey.
Yeah. Really? Okay. This ale is characterized by a subtle honey sweetness. Very true. That comes with a sting in the form of a high ABV. But do you taste the high ABV on this?
Well, 7.3 is how
questionably high.
It's questionable
for a cream ale, sure.
Very high
sure.
for cream ale. Not high for everything else. I think it's a beautiful beer, very well made.
Yeah,
I didn't think all this would work, but it works.
This is one of them. I wish you had brought back a six pack of this because,
yeah, this could be a dangerous beer because I could easily crush a couple of these without even realizing it.
Yeah,
right.
And at 7.2, you'd be woo.
30 minutes, you're like, why is my head a little?
Yeah,
yeah, you'd be very comfortable. But this is kind of opened my eyes on what a good cream ale could be, because cream ales for me are one of those in the guidelines that is just really hard because it doesn't have a lot going on. You know what I mean? And it's not supposed to be like crisp, like a pilsner can be crisp. And I just feel like it's, you know, kind of like that meh style that,
well, you know, Jenny, I mean, that's the most notable.
And I think that's why I'm feeling meh about the whole thing.
So that's your Northeastern version of the cream ales, the Jenny. So.
Right.
So what would you guys pair this with food wise?
I mean, this could go with almost anything. Just a
pretty
open
ended
American
right?
lager could go. I mean, just those traditional American foods,
like burger and fries.
Burgers.
Yeah, if you're, you know, you're watching the game, have some wings or,
you know,
like
wings, tacos, pizza, fried chicken.
I'd eat it with some roast turkey.
It'll go with anything.
Yeah, and that honey sweetness, you know, will probably bring out the meat.
Some
even
of those
more.
Savory flavors too. Yeah,
yeah.
Reading this, I was expecting something closer to say like a hop slam, just without the hops. But it's really pleasant. It's not overpoweringly sweet. I kind of wish maybe I need to get some of this and have a hop slam and then have one of these.
You know,
nice.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I'm not a fan. Never been a fan of that beer.
Of hop slam? Really?
No, it's too much.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Agreed.
The super excessiveness. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, what shall we? Yeah. As if there was a doubt. This is a big five.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, good old boy Dave, I heard there was a rumor that you might have a story of sorts.
Yes, so this is from a news station in South Dakota. Burger Latte brings curious customers to Sioux Falls coffee shop. So a coffee shop. So I guess South Dakota was celebrating their Burger Week or Burger Month celebration. And so a coffee shop so there's an annual burger battle. So these guys created a burger flavored latte.
A burger flavored latte.
And they have a hot version and the cold version.
Ooh.
And okay. On each one. So have you guys ever seen like some of the crazier Bloody Marys?
Yes.
Where people will serve like, I've seen like a whole roast chicken.
Cornish game.
Yeah. Things on that.
Yeah. All the things.
So they serve like a small burger on a stick with their burger flavored latte.
Ooh. Oh God.
And
that's a thing?
Yeah.
I can get behind small burger on a stick. Burger flavored latte, I'm still. Yeah.
Why would
I would just like a stick with a bunch of small burgers on it, because meat for on real. A stick oh, is yeah. always the way for to real. Go.
Sure.
So this is
crystals on a skewer.
Yep.
It's called the Breaks Coffee Roasting Company in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
And they had a couple people come in, and they actually said like the cold version tastes sort of like a Bloody Mary. With like pickle and kind of tomato kind of flavors in it. I'm just like, how does that play with coffee though? Like I'm kind of like somebody like good old boy Mike, who's a real coffee connoisseur. Maybe he's way more open-minded. Mike is open-minded
about coffee.
Yeah. Or anything. But like I have very specific ideas about what coffee should taste like,
right?
What flavor sure. components. So I'm
it's a Venn diagram of those flavors and burger flavors is not a Venn diagram.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of cross
two distinct
over.
Circles there.
Right,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, what do you guys think about a coffee flavored latte?
It's a terrible idea.
It's brilliant marketing. We're
it's
talking
great
about
marketing
it.
But I would not want to drink it.
Agreed. Yeah.
Just give me the burger, like Kendall said, give me the burger on the stick. And I think I could get down with that. And then like, would you even pair coffee with a burger? I don't know.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I could see like some like caramelized onions and like mushroom Swiss burger, like where you like put some coffee in the mushrooms to cook them down. I could see that.
So they put some pickle, garlic, and onion seasoning, and
not even real onion. Mm.
In there. I mean, I've had some, you know, fruity, you know, like where you get fruit components.
On a semi-related question, is Instagram the end of the Western world?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
It's one of the seven. Was it seven seals that are broken?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that broke one of the seals.
Oh, yeah.
TikTok's the other one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So burger flavored lattes is welcome to South Dakota.
Do better, South Dakota.
Okay. All right. Let's get to another beer. So now let's move to Sturgis, South Dakota, and Sturgis Brewing Company.
Sturgis, home of the famous bike rally.
One of these days I'm going to go. I've never been to Sturgis.
I can't believe you haven't been to it.
Can you go and not be on Harley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jerry Springer rode one of those three-wheeled
bikes.
Well, doesn't Harley make some of those?
They loved it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's front trikes and back trikes, but I've owned Harleys, but I've just never made it to Sturgis. But yeah, I mean, anybody can go.
Okay.
But I honestly just want to go ride Sturgis when the rally's not going on, because the roads around there are amazing. Okay. It's a great place to ride a motorcycle, and I really want to get up there.
Black Hills.
Yeah, up in the Black Hills. Gorgeous part of the country.
I imagine it'd be a great place to go when there's not a boatload of traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Black Hills Blonde Ale from Sturgis Brewing Company. It is 5.3% ABV. It is light easy drinking, slight honey and mild nutty flavors, citrus notes, and just, you know, really easy. It
smells like sweet bread.
I like this beer.
I'd say it's all that. They nailed the description. It's a little sweet. It's a blonde ale. There's nothing fancy about it, but it's a pretty well-made blonde ale, a little sweeter than I normally like, but not bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's the honey that's making this like a bit on the sweet side. Like I'm tasting the honeyness, if that makes any sense. Now, fun fact, Sturgis, South Dakota, was named after Samuel Davis Sturgis, who was an officer of the United States Army and a vet of the Mexican War, the Civil War, and the Indian Wars.
Wow.
I know.
So he settled in South Dakota. He liked war.
And, right.
He's a pretty badass dude.
And fought the Indians and all of them.
And also, me being a Pennsylvania girl, he was born in 1822 in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania.
He was like, I got to get out of here. I'll fight whoever or whatever I got to fight to get out of Pennsylvania.
Okay, that was rude. That was very rude.
It was rude. But
no,
I mean,
he entered the United States Military Academy at 20. So he was born in 1822.
Mm-hmm. He went to West Point.
And in 1842, he thought, oh, heck, I'm just going to.
So he was a contemporary of some, I think Robert E. Lee was in there at the same time. And I say Winfield Scott Hancock.
And Stonewall Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine there after class parties.
Right.
And, you know, hanging out and.
Those alumni reunions might have been awkward.
Ooh, yeah. Hey.
Well,
about that old Civil War thing.
Well, and interesting that he went on like to be part of that Mexican War and like, you know, and then wind up out there.
Well, like, probably like guys like that, they're like, okay, I've survived this. Now what's the next toughest thing I can go and, you know, got to find something that's maybe going to kill me. So
go to a land where I'm surrounded by people that want to see me dead.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's that. And so, for those of you that don't know, which is me including, so Sturgis is known for this big motorcycle rally.
Yeah, like that it's like 100,000 people or something show up for it. It's crazy.
Is it that small? I thought it was.
Might be more.
Which, I mean, basically doubles the state's population or something, like, every time they have it.
The first couple weeks of August,
Yeah.
Yeah, and also there is the Sturgis Motorcycle and Motorcycle Museum and Hall of Fame, which preserves the history of motorcycling in the United States.
I don't know if he still owns it, but the lead singer of Jackal, I don't know how many Jackal fans we've got here in the group, but used to co-own one of the bigger biker bars.
The Buffalo Chip?
No, it was the... Full Throttle Saloon.
Okay.
Was the name of it. Yeah.
The other big one.
Yeah. And they would have like dudes riding the motorcycle in the big
The Circle of Death.
Yeah,
those are cool.
Circle of Death
when they did that at the circus. That was fun.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great fun fact.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's go back to this beer. I like the fact that the cans are just you know, when you think of a motorcycle guy, offense, Drew, but there's...
Solid beard.
Well, yeah, solid beard, right?
It's a hop, hop beard.
Kind of like a hoppy beard, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, pretty basic, standard.
Solid blonde.
And a blonde, and interesting now that we've had a cream ale and a blonde ale from South Dakota that are actually, that are decent, but just sort of interesting that they're not influenced by a lot of hops, you know, from the West Coast or the Northwest. You know what I mean? Okay, so what shall we rate this? A 3.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Good job, Sturgis.
So, next from Sturgis is going to be this Red Cut Amber Ale.
It's the Red Cut Amber Red Ale.
Yes.
Which seems redundant because...
So the Black Hills Brewing has a blonde and a red cut. So I wonder if they make a black. Black Hills Brewing Black IPA. That's what they need to make.
Ooh, I mean, that would be great, right?
Brunette brown.
Brunette brown.
Baltic porter.
Okay, you're trying. I'm reaching. It's not working. No, I mean, no offense.
I mean, I don't see as many black IPAs anymore. Like
you do in that part of the country.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. It's different up there, I'm telling you.
I love black IPAs.
I saw quite a few. And you know what else is big up there, especially in Montana?